Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rich, we have not talked about the Astros really yet today. We'll get to Kawhi Leonard in just a minute, but the Astros lose again last night. The Red Sox come into town, so it's a fun weekend here in Houston for baseball.
Definitely.
From about the midway point of the game two nights ago, it has not gone well for the Astros.
No.
Are
you worried?
They were up 3-2. No, in the big picture. I'm not worried, but it does bum me out that Corbin Martin has kind of come back to earth after that first start that he had. I mean, it's three starts into his career, so I'm obviously not like, boy, Corbin Martin's a big failure. But it was, you know, that first start that he had kind of made me think, wow, maybe they found a little solution here with one of the young guys in the rotation.
To think that he was going to slide in and never give up that spot might have been a little unrealistic.
Yeah, well. And
probably more of a stopgap measure.
He's doing better than Forrest Whitley.
Yeah.
Have you seen Forrest Whitley's numbers?
Right, not good.
He's got an ERA of double digits. Mm-hmm. He's got like a 12 ERA right now. So last night was not fun. The guy who was it, Giolito, Geppetto?
Who had a bad record against the Astros until last night. But
Sandy Koufax.
I mean,
last
he was
night.
A bad pitcher last year. This is a former first round pick,
right?
Who last year, if what I read was correct, gave up more earned runs than any pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
And may have walked more batters than anyone in baseball. He was not good last year.
Yeah, well, he appeared to shake those habits last night.
Not just against the Astros. He's having a good year.
Yeah, he's having a good year. So,
go the distance against this team, complete game shutout, that's something. That's an accomplishment against this Astros team.
This is where I use Springer and Altuve not being in there as a crutch. I'm like, well, they didn't have their full lineup. We spent the whole week going, look, they don't even need Springer and Altuve. They're so amazing. They're averaging all these runs per game.
The expectation is that Springer will be back out there in center field tonight.
Okay, good, good. Against the team. I don't know if he grew up rooting for the Red Sox or not. He grew up in New Britain, Connecticut. So,
I think he might have.
I think he may have, too. So I'm looking at and I'm not using Corbin Martin having a bad start as a segue or trigger mechanism into trade deadline shopping right here. But I think when we've talked about who potential pickups are for the Astros to make that rotation better, there's been a sort of a short list of names that always show up. Dallas Keuchel's still one of them, as long as he's still out there. Stroman from Toronto, Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
Madison Bumgarner is a name that comes up. I will credit Johnny Armstrong of AstrosFuture.com for being the first one that I saw put a comprehensive piece together about this. He makes the case for Max Scherzer being a trade target for the Astros at the trade deadline.
Okay.
Can I interest you in a Max Scherzer, Rich?
Hit me.
How old do you think Max Scherzer is?
30-ish?
He's 35.
Really?
I was like,
I didn't think he was that old.
I didn't think so either. Point being, he's at the same age that Justin Verlander was, thereabouts, when the Astros made the trade for, I think Verlander may have been 34, but at the same stage of their career, which is mid-30s, still putting up numbers, but doing it in a place where you're just pitching in futility right now if you're trying to win any sort of championship. Scherzer's been part of some good teams in Washington that haven't done anything in the postseason. And now with Bryce Harper leaving, the Nationals are bad this year. They're 19-31, 50 games in. So Astros Future makes the case, hey, why not make a run at Max Scherzer? Here's what's interesting about Max Scherzer, the contractual situation. The contractual situation, I think you could argue, Rich, with Verlander was actually an enticement to doing a deal with the Detroit Tigers, because the Tigers were going to pick up $16 million of the money still left on the deal,
right?
Essentially making it a $20 million a year deal for 2018 and 2019, and then pro rata, whatever it was, for that last month of 2017. It's been a deal that's been a bonanza for the Astros. Justin Verlander has way outpitched even this really expensive salary that he has. Have you seen what Scherzer's contract looks like?
Yeah, I think I know what it is.
He's set to make $30 million.
Yeah.
In income in the calendar years of 2020 and 2021. And then he's got $105 million of deferred payments from 2022 through 2028. And $15 million a year from the Washington Nationals over the next 7 years after that.
And why would the Astros be interested in trading for that contract?
Well, if they don't have to pick up the deferred payments, then it's a contract you can reasonably discuss.
Yeah.
If you could get Max Scherzer for the next couple of years at $30 million a year, Rich, if you have Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole in the rotation this year, it's a wrap. It's game, set, match. And then next year, obviously, you'd have Scherzer still, so Cole definitely doesn't come back. It does impact maybe your ability. Certainly, it makes it a little dicier long-term, maybe with Springer or Correa. It impacts that. But if you're asking me of the players that are potentially available out there, and the Nationals have not made any indication they want to move Scherzer, but he doesn't have a no-trade clause right now. His no-trade clause doesn't kick in until 2020 and 2021.
Wow.
If you're asking me the potentially available guys where you could just go checkmate to the rest of baseball, he's it. He may be the number one guy on that list.
Hmm.
What do you think?
11 starts this year, 2-5 with a 3.41.
That's fine. Verlander wasn't pitching well when they traded for him either.
He's given up more hits than anybody in the National League to date.
Okay.
He's also leading the league in strikeouts right
now. Okay, so that means his stuff is still pretty good.
Yeah.
You're not trading for Max Scherzer because of what he's done this year, obviously.
Right. I'm just double checking what level he's performing at as we speak.
Gotcha.
And it's not bad.
No.
And
it's one of those things. Rich, I think the other thing you got to factor in, what do we see with every pitcher that comes in the building over here at Minute Maid Park? What happens? They get that Brent Strom dust sprinkled on them, and all of a sudden they become better.
He'd have to be on the short list of guys you'd have to consider as someone who could make a real serious impact. Madison Bumgarner, clearly the guy you mentioned, is someone
that's a true rental.
Yeah, that's a true rental, but also a guy that I think would have a serious impact. I think it's almost a given that they are going to make a deal for a starting pitcher.
Well, I think, if people kind of roll their eyes at this deal, I want them to keep one thing in mind, that we found out after the season this past year that they had a deal in place to get Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
And I know Harper was going to be a free agent, and you weren't committing to anything beyond 2018 with Bryce Harper. The Astros were never going to give Bryce Harper a deal in the offseason like he got with the Philadelphia Phillies.
No chance.
You know, Jeff Luhnow's never going to do a 13-year deal for a guy like the Phillies did. The Astros just won't ever do that. They'll do what they're doing with these other guys right now. They'll get guys like Verlander at the end when they want to win and give them short-term extensions. They'll get with guys like Bregman early on and buy out their arbitration years, and they'll take care of guys like Altuve who have been an MVP for your team, not for other teams.
Right.
But before people think that this is crazy, I guarantee you that Jeff Luhnow is going to make phone calls just to see what the price would be. There's no chance they're picking up deferred payments on Max Scherzer.
No, I agree.
Because $30 million a year is already expensive for 2020 and 2021.
I agree with that. And with the assets the Astros have on the farm, I mean, like I said, that's what makes me probably more than anything feel like this is inevitable, that they're going to strengthen their starting rotation with a deal involving a young prospect or two because they've got them to spare.
Yeah, the Bumgarner thing is interesting because of the 8 teams that he put on his no-trade list. And for those who don't know, Madison Bumgarner is in the last year of his deal. We know that his calling card is that he's the opposite of Donovan McNabb. He doesn't throw up in huddles in big games. He is a big-time, big-stage performer. Right. And he's in the last year of his deal, but he did something pretty unique with his no-trade clause. He's a limited no-trade clause, which means he can pick 8 teams that the Giants cannot trade him to without his consent. I think the spirit of that limited no-trade clause at the time it was written was probably to make sure they didn't trade him to the White Sox or the Royals or the Orioles or teams like that. Bumgarner has leveraged that really, really wisely, knowing that full well those teams are not going to trade for him as a rental because they're out of it. He picked 8 teams that are 8 of the best teams in baseball.
Smart.
And I would say, Rich, that if Madison Bumgarner gets traded and essentially they're allowing him to handpick the team that he goes to, that it's not a lock, but I would say there's a really good chance he's going to wind up with an extension on his deal, a pretty good extension on his deal. And you know what? If I'm one of those teams, if I feel like it's a reasonable dollar amount, then, for example, if you're the Astros, what it turns into is potentially another version of the Verlander trade.
Yeah.
You know, that was the big attraction in trading for Verlander, was not only winning a championship in 2017, but holy crap, we have one of the best starters of this generation of the last 15 years for the next 2 years, now the next 4 years because of the extension they've added on, at a very reasonable price.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they've got a big hole in their rotation But, you know, we're talking about a team that's maybe the best team in baseball, maybe the best organization in baseball, and that may feel that they are one starter away from getting where they want to go.
Yeah, do they not have a hole in their rotation, though? I mean, I know Miley's been solid this year, and Peacock's been good his last two starts. I feel like 3-4-5 for them, Rich. Maybe a hole is being a little alarmist. But I do feel like 3-4-5, as if you head into the postseason.
I think Miley's rock solid.
You do? Like, even once you get to the postseason? Okay. Because I feel like you can upgrade there. You know what I mean? I mean, he's been good this year and whatnot, but it's May. You know, like, I'm not ready to go, ready to go against the Red Sox and the Dodgers and the other teams. And look, you know, those are their cities. They're looking at the Astros with the same sort of healthy fear we're looking at them. These are all great baseball teams. I look at 3-4-5 as still a question mark on this team.
Yeah, for me it's more 4-5, but yeah. I also agree that they are going to trade for a starter.
Or bring Keuchel back, potentially, one or the other.
A lot of talk about him and the Yankees at this point. And the baseball draft is not this weekend, but I believe it starts either next weekend or a week from Monday. It's coming up.
Yeah.
Keuchel's going to be pitching soon.
Okay
over there?
Yeah, I just banged my finger on the bottom of the table.
That's the kind of thing I usually do.
Yeah, that.
Get some aspirins and wipe that off.
Dude, B-Mac, I'm going to come to the studio and hit your finger with a hammer and see how it feels. That's how hard I hit it with my knee. I banged my finger into the bottom of the table.
Self-inflicted
wound. At any rate, yeah. Now, B-Mac with his...
Up! Got a little ding on the head.
Yeah, no, it was on my finger, not my head. Commander-in-Chief.
It's amazing what he has at his fingertips.
Oh, yeah,
in that
he's a big bad guy when he's up there in the studio firing those hotkeys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.